Good afternoon. First, let me apologize for the delay on getting on the call. Unfortunately, en route to getting stationary to launch the meeting, I got caught behind an accident. But we're here now, and we'll get going. We would like to welcome you to the November the 10th meeting of the Savannah Historic District Board of Review. The purpose of this board is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of the city of Savannah. This board is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit and non-profit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are the basis for evaluating the compatibility of changes and new development. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, and impact on property values are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for a decision. At this time, we're going to take care of some housekeeping. It sounds like we have somebody in violation already, so if you would, please make sure your microphones are muted so that we can keep the line clear and make sure things are captured appropriately for the record. Once we get to the point where there's public comment, what we'll do is we'll have everyone raise their hands. And I think I may be getting a little ahead of myself on there, but the primary concern is making sure that you keep your microphones muted unless you are currently speaking. All right, signpostings. Members of the board receive packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. I'm getting some feedback from someone. If you would, please make sure your phone is muted. Okay, thank you. Were there any projects not posted this month? Okay, hearing none. We'll move on into the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. I'll read the items on the consent agenda, and then I'll ask a couple of questions. Item number one on the consent agenda is the petition of Array Design. Petition number 21-005-430-COA at 117 West Jones Street, fence replacement. Item number two, Doug Bean Signs, Inc. Petition number 21-005-688-COA at 420 East Broughton Street, illuminated sign. Item number three, petition of Kent and Helena Plemons. Petition number 21-005-725-COA at 509 Tatnall Street, new openings. Item number four, the petition of Kern & Co. Company, LLC. Petition number 21-005-728-COA at 223 West River Street, alteration to infield window opening. Item number five, petition of JDH Decks and Fences. Petition number 21-005-729-COA at 111 West Bay Street, fence. And item number six, the petition of Your Exterior Pros, petition number 21-005-734-COA at 408 East Hall Street, siding replacement. Hearing those, I believe there is one that is going to get moved to the regular agenda. Is there any member of the public or board member who wishes to remove an item on the consent agenda to the regular agenda?
Mr. Chairman, this is Leah. The item that that you're mentioning is 1 West Broughton Street, and it was moved to the regular agenda before publishing the final agenda this morning.
Okay. Yeah, I got it. I see it. I just wanted to make sure that I did know of it, and I just wanted to make sure that I captured that. I appreciate it. Hearing that there are no more items that wishes to be removed to the regular agenda, we'll go ahead and entertain a motion for approval of the consent agenda.
Mr. Bodett, so moved.
Thank you, Mr.
Bodett. Mrs. Ellie, I'll second.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. We'll do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Thank you. Motion carries and the consent agenda is approved. Okay. We'll move on to the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
Taylor, so moved.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor.
David Altshuler, second.
Thank you, Mr. Altshuler. All right, we'll do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, motion carries and the agenda is approved. We'll move on to the approval of the minutes. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the meeting, to approve the October meeting minutes?
So moved, this is Mr. Bodett.
Thank you, Mr. Bodett, second.
This is Ellie, I'll second.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. We'll do a voice vote on this as well. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries and the October meeting minutes, October 13th meeting minutes are approved. We'll move on to the items requested to be removed from the final agenda. There are no items listed, so we'll move into the continued agenda. These applications have been requested to be continued to the following meeting. I'll read those. Item number 9 is petition of Sotil Christian Sotil, petition number 20-005548-COA at 336 Barnard Street, new construction part 2, design details. Item number 10, J. Elder Studio, Jerome Elder, petition number 21-004050-COA at 37 Whitaker Street, after the fact alterations and signage. Item number 11, the petition of GM Shea Architects, petition number 15-001384-COA at 600 East River Street, pedestrian bridge. Item number 12, petition of Ward Architecture and Preservation, petition number 21-005248-COA at 3 West Gordon Street, accessory building alterations and additions. Item number 13, petition of Robert Powell, petition number 21-005136-COA at 606 Lincoln Street, alterations. And lastly, item number 14, the petition of the Savannah College of Art and Design, petition number 21-005550-COA at 126 East Gaston Street, alterations, demolition of a non-contributing building, and new construction small parts 1 and 2. All right. We will now entertain a motion to pass the, to continue the items on the continued agenda.
This is Ellie, so moved.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second, Nan Taylor.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. All right, we'll do a voice vote here as well. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you. The motion carries and the items on the continued agenda have been continued. Okay, we'll move on to requests for extensions. There are no items listed there. So now we'll move into the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendations. We ask that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comment. The board will then go into board discussion at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairman. We will structure board discussion by going around each board member 2 times for comment. You do not have to provide comments if you do not have any. Okay. So we'll call the first petition, and that is the petition of Sina Rama, Andy Bonner, petition number 21-005-427-COA, 1 West Broughton Street, illuminated signs.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, this is Al Zandrowski, and I will be presenting the petition for 2 illuminated signs for the property located at 1 West Broughton Street. So the applicant is proposing 1 neon wall sign for the facade facing Broughton Street, which you can see here, as well as 1 neon projecting sign for the corner facade facing Bull Street. So with regards to the preservation standards, staff did find these to be met. The wall sign is to be mounted flush to the wall, and the projecting sign is to be mounted with a corner plate to the wall, and neither sign will obscure or damage any historic features. The signs are to be constructed of a painted aluminum cabinet. The projecting sign will be double-sided, and the wall sign will obviously be single-sided. All of the detailed elements on top of the cabinet are to be vinyl with neon tubing laid over them. So those detailed elements are going to be the toast all day and the champagne flutes here. So as you can see in this night view of the illuminated signs, the neon tubing is proposed to be red, yellow, and white on these signs. So staff just wanted to go over a bit of historic and present context for neon signs on Broughton Street. Presently, there is a sign at 212 East Broughton Street or Leopold's Ice Cream, which is neon. Additionally, neon signs were historically fairly prevalent on Broughton Street as a major commercial area, as you can see in these photos as I'll scroll through. So staff does find these signs to be visually compatible as illuminated. With regards to the vinyl detailing, staff did want to point out that vinyl is not a prohibited material within the special sign districts. However, staff is recommending that the applicant provide a specification to staff which shows the thickness and size of the vinyl on the aluminum sign cabinet to staff for final review and approval. With regards to the sign standards, staff did find the sign location, illumination, and size to meet the standards of the Broughton Street Sign District Ordinance. Both signs are mounted on a facade with a public entrance, are within the maximum signage area allowed, and are mounted in appropriate locations. So with that, staff is recommending approval of 1 illuminated wall sign and 1 illuminated projecting sign for the property located at 1 West Broughton Street, with the following condition to be submitted to staff for final review and approval, because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. And that is 1, provide a specification for the vinyl detailing, which shows thickness and size. Thank you, and I would be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Thank you, Aisla. Are there any questions for staff? Okay. Would the petitioner come forward, please? Come forward. Would the petitioner unmute yourself and state your name for the record?
Yes. Hi, this is Andy Bonner with Sina Rama.
Did you have anything that you wanted to add?
No, I think we appreciate this being considered. I think Aslan did a really good job of outlining what we are proposing here. Incidentally, we have done similar signs of this same construction type in other areas in the Charleston area. And it actually turns out, there you go, there's a good photo of a similar sign that we've done here locally that shows kind of a true picture of what the sign would look like once it's complete. So it's very attractive sign and representative of the historic district where it's located. I think the only question that sounded like came up was related to the vinyl and the reason for the vinyl. If you look closely at the artwork, there's some bubbles, if you will, in the champagne glasses. That's part of kind of the bubbly effect of the drink. And then obviously some detailed outline work, and it's just would be very, very difficult to paint. So what we're proposing there is a vinyl overlay for that. And as far as the specifications of that vinyl, we'd be happy to provide that. I know there was a question about the thickness of the vinyl, and you know, vinyl comes in various thicknesses. We could certainly go thicker or thinner, depending on what the board preferred there. If they preferred a thick vinyl, we could go that direction, or if they preferred a thin vinyl, just let me know and we'd be glad to go whichever direction is preferred there and provide those to staff. So yeah, I think this item was on the consent agenda until I found out this morning that it was moved to the regular agenda. I think there was a public comment, and I don't know what that public comment was, but it was requested that it be moved to the regular agenda. So hopefully that question will come out, and I'll be happy to answer that at the time. But otherwise, I feel like we've presented our proposal thoroughly here.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Mr. Bonner. We'll get to that public comment here just shortly.
Okay.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? Okay. Hearing none, we will now allow for public comment. We ask that you use the raise your hand feature on the control panel and wait until you are called upon to speak, and then unmute yourself, submit your comment, and mute yourself again. And again, we ask that you limit all public comment to 3 minutes or less. All right, we have one so far, and that is Mr. Ryan Arbey.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. This is Ryan at Historic Savannah Foundation. And our ARC met this week, and in regards to this particular application, we are concerned about the precedent for new neon on Broughton Street. As Aslan pointed out in her presentation, yes, once upon a time, Broughton was proliferated with neon, but Broughton was also proliferated with mid-century slipcovers over the front of historic buildings. And the city made a concerted, coordinated effort maybe 15, 20 years ago to remove a lot of that signage in favor of a particular period of significance, predominantly the late 19th century. And this building in particular is I believe an 1850s, 1860s building. We do not believe that the neon is visually compatible for this building. Yes, there are remaining examples of very, very few remaining examples of neon, Leopold's, Sorry Charlie's, even the gray had new neon. But in those rare cases, the neon reflects either a historic precedent, an actual sign which was being recreated, or something that is in keeping with the architecture of that time. The gray is a great example of one in which it does work because of the modern style of that old bus terminal. That is not the case here on this mid-19th century building. It is not compatible, and we don't think that a precedent should be set for adding this very highly commercial Chili's TGI Friday type style design on a building of this vintage. And we appreciate the chance to comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Arvey. Ms. Harris, Ms. Ellen Harris.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for the opportunity to comment. My name is Ellen Harris. I am speaking on behalf of the Downtown Neighborhood Association. And while we do not comment frequently on commercial proposals before the Historic Review Board, we agree with Historic Savannah Foundation that we felt like this was an important enough petition that it warranted additional commentary and discussion by the board. We echo Historic Savannah Foundation's concerns about the visual compatibility of this particular signs, and also want to really reiterate the concern about setting a precedent. That this type of signage, if this were to move forward, this type of signage would be permitted, all along Broughton Street on any building. It really sets a precedent. We think that neon can be appropriate in some specific circumstances, such as Historic Savannah Foundation outlined, based on the style of the particular building or a historic precedent for that signage to have previously existed. So we the city has taken almost heroic efforts to bring Broughton Street back from what it was in its decline in the 1970s and 1980s, and we just hate to see a backstep in that direction. And then it also is possible for that to leach into the more residential areas. So we do feel like the sign is visually incompatible and would respectfully request that you consider denying it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Harris. Are there any more members of the public that wishes to speak on this petition? Okay. No hands. Therefore, we will allow for the petitioner to respond to public comments.
Yeah. So listened very carefully to the two public folks that brought their concerns forward, and I suppose as the sign manufacturer who we actually worked with the design on this as well, I'm actually surprised at the feedback. These signs are actually very attractive signs and would not detract from the neighborhood, in my opinion, at all. Neon is strictly one method of lighting signs. And if you go back a few years ago, really, and I think the picture that was shown in the staff research that shows the nighttime view of, I believe it's Broughton Street at night, virtually all of those signs are neon. I would venture to say that 75% of the signs that you're seeing there are neon. Several of the others may be fluorescent bulbs, but those are, two of the only styles of lighting that were present back then. And so what we're proposing here, I understand that there may be a difference of opinion about personal preference, but I was glad to hear at the beginning of the meeting that personal preference isn't a factor of the board's consideration. And we are definitely trying to be period specific. And so knowing that the staff reviewed it as such and also found it to be consistent with the sign ordinance and also with the visually compatible with the area, gives me hope that the board will consider this, as I do think it would be a, it's certainly not like a Chili's sign or an Applebee's sign. I think that those are completely different than what we're proposing here. So, understand that the particular members of the public may not be fans of neon, but it was certainly a very popular sign style, and it's what we're proposing for this particular building.
All right. Thank you. So we'll go into board discussion. Excuse me. We'll start with you, Ms. Lynch.
I don't. I appreciate what the members of the public have said about having issues with the neon, but I feel that if this meets the ordinance, then I do not have an issue with it.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Taylor?
I'm struggling with the fact that it is consistent with the sign guidelines. I can appreciate that, but neon signs to me seem like they belong on a certain style of building for a certain era. And so for me, this is a visually incompatible issue. And I too hate to see this get opened up again for downtown Savannah signs so that we have them all over in the future.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Mr. Altshuler.
I look at the night shot of the historic shot. It looked to me like Broadway And to my mind, Savannah is very, should be and continue to be very far away from the notion of Broadway. The concern is not this single sign. The concern is the proliferation of signs all up and down Broughton Street. And we should do whatever we can, it seems, to be appropriate to the historic style of the buildings here and not turn it into honky-tonk. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Altshuler. Ms. Isaacs?
I agree with my two previous board members as well as public comment, and that's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Dodge?
No comment other than I agree with the staff's recommendation.
All right, thank you, sir. Mr. Bodick?
I appreciate public comments and am in agreement.
Thank you. I will swing around one more time to see if anybody has anything additional, then we'll entertain a motion and a vote. Ms. Lynch?
Nothing further.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Taylor?
Nothing more.
Thank you. Mr. Altshuler? Mr. Altshuler, are you there? You might still be on mute.
I am here now, yes.
Okay. Anything further?
No.
All right, thank you, sir. Ms. Isaac?
No further comment.
All right, Mr. Dodge?
Nothing further.
And Mr. Bodick?
I have nothing to add.
All right, sounds good. All right, that being said, we will now entertain a motion and then enter into a vote.
Can staff turn it to the recommendations page so we can see the numbers?
This is Nan Taylor, and I move that the downtown Savannah Downtown Historic Board Review deny the petition number 21-005427 COA 1 West Broughton Street illuminated signs. Based on incompatibility of the project as outlined, as I deem.
That works.
Okay.
This is Ellie. I'll second that.
All right. So we got a motion on the floor made by Ms. Taylor and seconded by Ms. Isaacs to deny the petition due to the lack of visual compatibility. Is that right? Any discussion on that motion?
Yes, sir.
So if there's no discussion, we'll entertain a vote. We'll start with you, Ms. Lynch.
Nay.
Okay. Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
Ms. Isaacs?
Aye.
Mr. Dodge?
Nay.
And Mr. Bodick?
Aye.
Okay. The motion carries as a 4-2 aye vote, and the petition is denied. Okay, move on to the next item on the agenda. That is the petition of David Lurch, petition number 21-004661-COA at 503 East St. Julian Street, alterations and fence.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. This is Aslan Drosky again, and I will be presenting the petition for alterations and a fence at 503 East St. Julian Street. You may recall seeing this petition earlier this year in August, when the petitioner applied for an after-the-fact rear deck roof extension, the after-the-fact installation of mechanical equipment seen here above the shed, and the installation of a 10-foot fence. All after-the-fact elements can be seen in this photo and are currently visible from the public right-of-way. So all elements in this petition were denied at the August meeting. The applicant did submit a new petition. However, this was continued during the September and October HDBR meetings due to a lack of changes from the initially denied proposal. So the applicant is now proposing to subordinate the roof that was constructed after the fact. He will reinstall it at below the 4-inch fascia of the roof to the building to which it is attached, and will cover the roof with asphalt roll roofing. Previously, this material was not provided to staff, and staff had a condition to provide this material. However, staff is now revising that condition to revise the roofing material to be asphalt shingle or another appropriate roofing type for new construction additions. Otherwise, staff finds that the subordinated roof meets the preservation standards and is visually compatible, as it will become minimally visible and no longer obstruct the roof line of the rear of the building. Additionally, the applicant has indicated that he will be removing this mechanical equipment from its position atop the existing storage shed, and that it will be placed at ground level where it is not visible. The applicant is also proposing alterations to the storage shed. However, these will not be visible from the public right-of-way due to this fence at the rear of the property and were not included in staff's review. The applicant is also proposing to reinstall the existing fence at a height of 8 feet along the property line and along the fence at the neighboring property. Here's a drawing of that as well. It will be constructed of the same materials and color as existing. It will just be reconstructed in the same location, facing East Congress Street. Staff does find the height of 8 feet to be visually compatible. There are several fences within the ward that are 8 feet, and the increase in height will not disrupt the wall of continuity created along that street by neighboring fences. So with that, staff is recommending approval of the alterations to an existing after the fact rear porch and the rebuild slash increase in height of an existing fence to 8 feet for the property located at 503 East St. Julian Street, with the following condition to be submitted to staff for final review and approval, because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. And that is, one, revise the roofing material to be asphalt shingle or another appropriate material for new construction additions. Thank you, and I'd be happy to take any questions from the board.
Thank you, Aislinn. I think I finally got your name right. Are there any questions for staff? Okay, hearing none. We'll now hear from the petitioner. We ask that you state your name for the record and, well, unmute yourself and then state your name for the record and submit your comment. And if you are, and when you're done, we ask that you mute yourself again.
My name is David Lurch, and I'm the owner of the property of 503 East St. Julian Street. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens, for the opportunity to address the members of the Savannah Historic Board of Review. All I initially wanted to do was to replace a worn-out canvas canopy over the deck behind my home with a wooden one. After I bought the historic cottage a year ago, last July, I updated the kitchen, painted the inside, and replaced the air conditioning unit. The air conditioning technician suggested that the compressor unit be placed outside of the existing work shed in the backyard rather than inside where the old one was located. I thought that placing it on the roof of the shed would be okay. I hired a carpenter to repair the roof on the shed to hold the compressor. While he was doing that, I asked him to extend the first floor roof over the existing deck as part of the project. Contractors were hard to find, and I wanted to take advantage of his time. I realize now that that was a big mistake. I invited a neighbor who was on the board of the Savannah Historic Foundation to find out what he thought. He said that the location of the air conditioner compressor might be a problem, but the extension of the first floor roof should not be a problem as long as the new roof was not visible from the street. I stood on the backside of Congress Street, the service street behind my house, and determined that I would not be able to see any part of the extended roof structure if the fence height were increased 8 feet. While the work was being done, I had a carpenter take down a portion of the rotting fence on the side of my yard that backs up to my neighbor's brick wall and repair a post along that wall. My neighbor's wife, Deborah Musselman, at 501 East St. Julian Street, heard the hammering and filed a complaint with the city. She is suffering from dementia and complained to city police and other city officials that my carpenter was destroying her house and that an existing fence post being repaired was invading her property. That work was stopped at that point. Mrs. Musselman's court complaints have been subsequently dismissed. I spoke with the Historic Board of Review staff members about what had happened and was told to fill out an application. Mrs. Grosky told me that the location of the air conditioner compressor on the roof of the shed would be a problem because it could be seen over the 7-foot fence. She also said that the fascia of the new extended roof would be a problem because it could be seen from the opposite side of Congress Street. I asked that if I replace the existing 7-foot fence with one that is 8 feet tall, would a roof extension meet the board's requirement? She said it would. I also spoke to Leah McElhatt about increasing the height of the fence so that I could leave the air conditioner compressor on the roof of the shed. She said the board could approve a fence height up to 10 feet, which would hide the compressor from the street view. When I applied for approval in August, the board rejected my petition, basing it totally on my request to increase the height of the fence to 10 feet. As a result, I must remove the roof extension and replace it with one that subordinates the existing first floor roof if the board approves it. They must also approve increasing the height of the existing 7-foot fence to 8 feet. That height is consistent with my immediate neighbor's fence located at 507 East St. Julian Street. And the board must also approve relocating the air conditioner compressor currently located on the roof of the shed and place it somewhere not visible from the street. I have met with Mr. Ryan Arve, Director of Preservation and Historic Properties at the Savannah Historic Foundation about leaving the new roof as an extension of the first floor roof rather than subordinating it. He discussed the issue with the Savannah Historic Foundation board at their meeting last Monday. He said their board indicated that if the current roof extension could not be seen from any point on Congress Street when the fence height is increased to 8 feet, it would become a moot issue. However, the Historic Board of Review staff members have indicated that since the petition was rejected at the August meeting, I must remove the existing roof extension and replace it with a subordinated roof structure, even though it cannot be seen from Congress Street. So I am reapplying to the request to tear off the existing roof structure and replace it with a subordinated one if I'm permitted to replace and extend the existing 7-foot, 2-inch fence with one that is 8 feet tall. And I will remove the air conditioner compressor from the roof of the shed. I learned my lesson from the experience and stand corrected on doing any work on my house without prior approval from the Savannah Historic Board of Review. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Lurch. Just a FYI, listening to your statement, I just wanted to let you know that, you know, HSF, though they are community advocates for historic preservation, and they, you know, they chime in on things that they feel are extremely important to the historic district's fabric and or any other one of our districts that have been designated with historic. However, they have no purview, just to reiterate, just for future reference, they have no purview over this board. They're simply members of the public. So, you know, though those conversations are had, all they're doing is giving you their personal their body's opinion. And it's just, I always want to make sure we educate while we usher individuals through this process. So I think you get the point. I'm happy that you went through the avenues and talking to all these individuals. And I'm happy that you also, based off of your statement, have learned that, okay, this is not one of those places that it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. It's definitely an ask for permission type scenario to save yourself the headache. I just wanted to throw that comment out there. Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner? Okay, hearing none, we will now open it up to the members of the public. Please use the raise your hand feature, unmute yourselves and state your name for the record. Keep your comment to 3 minutes or less, and then mute yourselves again. First public comment is Mr. Ryan Arvey, HSF.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ryan Arvey, Historic Savannah Foundation. And just want to thank you for the opportunity to just clarify our position on this. The homeowner did reach out to us after his first appearance at HDBR a few months ago, and we do like to provide technical assistance if we can. I do want to thank the chairman for his clarification and for his comments. HSF does have opinions, as you all know, but of course the true authority, as we told Mr. Lurch, lies with this body. We are happy to see that he is going to relocate the AC unit. We objected to that when this project first came before you, so we are glad to see that he'll be rectifying that. The issue of an 8-foot fence is visually compatible and within the ordinance, and so we also don't have any objection to that. The only reason I'm actually speaking is because Mr. Lurch mentioned us, and it is true, our ARC's opinion was that subordinating the roof of the porch to the kitchen addition. While we understand MPC's reasoning for wanting that and don't necessarily object to it outright, because the 8-foot fence would hide that, it could make that particular issue a moot point. That was the opinion of our ARC, that it was not necessary if the 8-foot fence is approved, but we certainly can understand, and I told Mr. Lurch this, why the staff is asking for that. And so that is our position on the matter, and we thank you for hearing that.
Thank you, Mr. Arvey. Any more public comment? Okay, thank you. And before the petitioner gets the opportunity to respond to public comment, I just want to still add one more comment in regards to HSF. This body absolutely appreciates HSF as an entity that are advocates for preservation and helping us educate the general public about what could potentially be deemed appropriate and or ushering them and guiding them through what the ordinance states and allows for and does not allow for. So, you know, just wanted to make it clear that, you know, we are not against a HSF comment and or opinion, nor are we taking it to the bank and saying, okay, because HSF said it's good that we're going to run with it. But we do greatly appreciate bodies like HSF that work additionally with us to help inform our public. All right. So saying after that, Mr. Lurch, would you like to respond to HSF's comments?
I would like to make a comment that I certainly appreciate the time that Mr. Harvey took to come over and visit and take a look at my project. And I certainly understand now more of the difference between the two organizations, and I appreciate their time.
Beautiful. Thank you. Seeing that there are no more public comments, we'll now enter it into board discussion, at which time we will not receive any further testimony from the petitioner nor the public. So we'll start with public discussion with you, Mr. Bodick. Board discussion.
I have no comment.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Dodge.
No comment other than agreeing with the staff's recommendation.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Isaacs.
I have no comment.
Thank you. Mr. Altshuler.
No comment.
Ms. Taylor.
In agreement with staff's comments.
Okay, and Ms. Lynch.
I'm also in agreement with staff's comments.
Okay. Hearing that there's been no comments thus far, I'm going to assume that there are no more. So I won't go around for a second round unless anybody would like to submit one. If you do, state your name and just let me know. But if there are no further comments, then we will entertain a motion.
Mr. Bodick, I move to approve staff's recommendations for petition number 21-004661-COA with the condition of revising the roofing material to be asphalt shingle or another appropriate material for new construction additions.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a second?
This is Ellie, I'll second.
Thank you, Ms. Isaacs. So a motion is made by Mr. Bodick and seconded by Ms. Isaacs to approve the petition as outlined in the staff recommendation. And that is with one condition, revise the roofing material to be asphalt shingle or other appropriate material for new construction additions. Is there any discussion on the motion? Okay, hearing none, we'll entertain a vote. Ms. Lynch?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
Ms. Isaacs?
Aye.
Mr. Dodge?
Aye.
And Mr. Bodick?
Aye.
All right. Motion carries and the project is approved with the condition. Then we'll move to the next item on the agenda, and that is the petition of Your Exterior Pros. Petition number 21-005720-COA at 227 Houston Street, window replacement with unreviewed window type.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. This is Olivia Arpiso. I'll be presenting the petition for the replacement of windows at 227 Houston Street with an unreviewed window type. All the windows on this non-contributing building are deteriorated and are proposed to be replaced. Currently, the windows are wood single pane windows. The proposed replacement window type is Victorbilt Tradition Series. These windows are double hung simulated divided light windows with low E glass, a wood sash, and PVC muntins. Staff has determined that the PVC muntins are not appropriate. PVC is also not a listed window material for new construction, alterations to non-contributing resources, and additions. Staff would like the petitioner to ensure that the muntins are either made of wood or clad wood, and that all wood is painted. Additionally, the muntins on the sample window are a colonial style muntin, as opposed to the simulated putty glazed muntin that is permitted by the ordinance. Therefore, staff recommends that the board approve the replacement of windows at 227 Houston Street with the following conditions, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. One, ensure that the muntins are either made of wood or clad wood. Two, revise the muntin profile to be of a simulated putty glazed profile, as opposed to a colonial profile. Three, ensure that all framing members are covered in appropriate trim, that any rotted trim is replaced in kind, and that all glass is transparent with no dark tints or reflective effects. And 4, ensure that all wood is painted and that information regarding the proposed paint colors are provided to staff for review. Thank you, and I now open for any questions from the board.
Thank you, Olivia. Any questions for staff? Okay. Hearing none, we'll now hear from the petitioner. Ask that you state your name for the record. And limit your comment to 10 minutes or less.
This is Eric McGee with Your Exterior Pros. And I just want to take a moment and say thank you for Olivia and Leah for walking me through this process. It's my first time applying for this type of COA, so I just wanted to say thank you to them and all the help.
Would you repeat your name again, please?
It's Eric McGee with Your Exterior Pros, sir.
All right, thank you.
No problem. I was unaware of the differences in the wood cladding, both from the material and then the colonial style versus the simulated putty. So I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Moving forward, we definitely will adjust that to make sure that's not an issue that we have. Honestly, it's, like I said, I apologize. It's my first time going through this process. The only point of contention I might would like to bring on is for this particular building itself. It's a series of 3 townhouses. And then I would like to say that the one on 331 that's closest to the south end of that home actually, I believe, has vinyl windows already attached to this non-contributing building. So I didn't know if that would be a factor given in or not. Outside of that, I'm not sure what else to really say, to be honest. I just appreciate the time and the knowledge moving forward with future projects.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner? All right, hearing none, we will now entertain the public comment. Please use the raise your hand feature. State your name for the unmute yourself, state your name for the record, submit your comment, 3 minutes or less, and mute yourselves when done. Okay, it appears we have no hands raised on this petition. Therefore, we'll enter into board discussion, and we'll start with you, Ms. Lynch.
I don't have any comments.
Thank you. Ms. Taylor.
No comment.
You, Mr. Altshuler.
No comment.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Isaacs?
No comments.
All right, thank you, Mr. Dodge.
No comment.
And Mr. Bodick?
No comment.
All right. Hearing that we have no comment on the first go around, I'm going to assume that there are no comments on the second round. If I'm in error, please catch me. Let me know who it is that's commenting. Otherwise, we will entertain a motion. Thank you, staff, for putting up the recommendations.
This is Nan Taylor, and I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition number 21-005720-COA, provided that the conditions outlined in the staff recommendations are met. 1 through 4.
Oh, sorry about that. Were you done? I apologize.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. All right, so there's a motion on the floor to approve with conditions as outlined in the staff review. Is there a second? And that motion was made by Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Bodick, I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Bodick. All right, motion made by Ms. Taylor and seconded by Mr. Bodick. Approval with conditions as outlined in the staff review. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, hearing none, we'll entertain a vote. Ms. Lynch?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
Ms. Isaacs?
Aye.
Mr. Dodge?
Aye.
And Mr. Bodick?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries, and the petition is approved with conditions. All right, we'll move to the last item on the regular agenda, and that is the petition of J. Elder Studio, petition number 21-005431-COA at 351 through 355 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard Rehabilitation.
Julie, this is Monica, not me.
Thank you, Chairman and members of the board. This is Monica Gann, and I'll be presenting 351 and 355 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. The applicant is requesting approval for rehabilitation for the property located at 351 and 355 Martin Luther King Boulevard. The rehab includes a color change of the exterior facade. A new cornice is proposed to match the historical photo to be constructed in wood and painted above the new storefront windows. So as you can see here in the historic photo, these corner brackets are proposed to be installed. Exterior doors are to be repaired and replaced in kind and proposed to be stained. A new storefront window system is proposed to be replaced with new wood storefront windows and to be painted. Doors and windows configuration is not to change. So staff recommends approval for the rehabilitation of the property located at 351 and 355 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard as requested, because the work is visually compatible and meets standards. Thank you, and happy to answer any questions that the board may have at this time.
Thank you, Monica. Any questions for staff?
I have questions. This is Ellie. The proposed cornice that's going above the storefront, is it going to have that same bracket, because it looks flat in the drawing?
So this bracket here that you see that's under in the historical photo, that's under the balcony, that's what's being proposed, yes, to be installed.
Okay, so the corner one that's curved is not going, it's basically, it's all going to be flat. There's not going to be any curve to it anymore, right? Because it's not, there's no balcony that's going back.
They're proposing as what we're seeing in the historical photo to match with the curve.
Okay, so the balconies are going back?
No, the balconies are not going back.
But it's okay, just, so it's just this, okay.
Monica, can you show the proposed drawing, please?
Yes.
It just looks like it's flat in that elevation. Does that make sense?
Just one second, I'm sorry.
Could you scroll down to the side elevation? Over to the right.
Okay, so it is flat.
Yep, I see what you're saying. That's probably a good question for the petitioner.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions for staff? Okay, hearing none, I will now call the petitioner. We ask that you state your name for the record and keep your comment to 10 minutes or less.
Hello, this is Jerome Alder with J. Alder Studio. And I want to thank staff for working with us on this. I think, well, to answer Ms. Isaac's question, you are correct. It is a new bracket. Well, I would say it's not exactly a bracket, but it is a new structure built up with bracket on the side that is not going to be curved, since we do not, we're not proposing adding back the balconies, which have been removed because of decay. Outside of that, I don't think there was any other question. I believe if you go to the, are you able to scroll down if possible? You'll see it, and you can see that the bracket is flat, projects just a little. And I think that would answer your question, Ms. Isaacs.
All right, thank you, Mr. Elder. Yeah, did you have anything further?
I just wanted to know if there's a reason, is it like a programmatic reason why there's not, why they're not restoring it the way that it was since they have photos?
Would I be able to respond?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, the brackets were removed, and the owner would plan to add it back at a future point, but not currently. Right now, what they're trying to do is get the building rehabilitated so they can reactivate it, because it's not in use and just falling into extreme disrepair. We'll also, that entire process is why we're looking to just get, I would call it, it's not temporary, but getting a good option in place that's void of the brackets, and doing a full restoration back to its historic details. Hello?
Okay, that's good to know.
Okay. Do we have any further questions for the petitioner? Okay. Hearing none, we'll now go into open up the floor for public comment. We ask that you use the raise your hand feature in the control panel. Once you're called upon, unmute yourself, state your name for the record, limit your comment to 3 minutes or less, and mute yourselves again. All right, Mr. Ryan Arvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ryan Arvey, Historic Savannah Foundation. First, I want to begin by saying that we are really happy to see that this building is finally being rehabilitated and adaptively reused. It's been a long time coming. We were growing pretty anxious about the condition of this building. So I would be remiss if I didn't start by saying how great that is. It is very unfortunate that previously the building was neglected. I don't know what the ownership is. I don't know. I would assume it's got a new owner. The historic material was on that building not that long ago, and it probably did fall off due to deterioration, or city code compliance made them remove it. I don't remember that coming before this board, nor do I remember them getting a COA for that. But it is very unfortunate when a building retains significant details like those balconies, and then those are either removed without approval, or knowingly removed and then allowed to be renovated with a less than compatible alternative. And so, speaking specifically to that particular detail, while I understand the current owner does not want to put balconies back, and while I'm sure that this board has to some extent does not have the authority to make them, a half measure I think would be appropriate. Monica, could you possibly zoom in on that central building? First off, we object to the use of wood on the storefronts when it was clearly tin, most likely tin. Also, the flat brackets are kind of a poor substitute for what was there. I think a half measure could be possibly, you can see the ghost of the crown. Not a full balcony, but a cornice, a tin cornice of sorts, could be added, fitting that profile with those scooped brackets kind of supporting it, which would give this building a lot more nobility and bring it much closer to the historic building. We do not feel that the flat wood storefront that is being recommended is visually compatible, nor is it probably going to hold up for very long. And that there is a half measure the architect, who we know and is very capable, could come up with possibly a better design if they're not going to put the balconies back. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Arve. Are there any further public comments? Okay, it appears we have no other hands. Therefore, we will allow for the petitioner to respond to public comments.
Hello. Well, thank you, Ryan, for your comments. One of the things that we'd like to clarify is that when we do have photo documentation, the historic, what we can find as being that storefront is actually wood, even in the previous framing, what was there and the little that is left, it is wood. As for your other comment, I do believe that instead of doing a half measure, the fact that we're going for a flat panel, not trying to do anything that is an in-between, but leaving it to where in the future it can be added upon and we can do a future full restoration of that balcony with the tin, if that is the case, I think that to me would be even more appropriate. But as it stands now, I would rather not explore doing a almost there measure in this situation. So ideally, we'd like to be able to have the brackets there, the ones that are there, which can be temporary for future addition. But we believe that it still meets the historic district standards and is appropriate for the building. And also just a few doors down on a neighboring building, there's a very similar type of storefront. And we try to ensure that it's at least visually compatible with all those within the district.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Elder. All right. Now that the petitioner has responded to public comment, we will now go into board discussion. Again, this is at this point, no further comment from public or petitioner will be received unless granted. So we'll start the board discussion with you, Ms. Lynch.
Sorry, I thought you were
just
on the other side.
I can't remember which side I started.
It's all good. I just wasn't ready to unmute. I am in favor of this project, and I don't have any comments.
Thanks a bunch. Ms. Taylor?
I agree with staff's comments.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Alshila?
Agree with staff comments.
Thank you. Ms. Isaacs?
I still feel that the balcony could be, or the brackets could be restored on the storefront, but even without the balconies getting put back, because I feel that the likelihood of that happening in the future is probably slim, but to be more visually compatible than what's being proposed. But other than that, that's all that I have.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Dodge.
I agree with staff's comments, and I appreciate Mr. Arve's comments. I see the point that the petitioner makes also about perhaps down the line restoring the balconies. Whether or not that happens, obviously, is another question, but for right now, I agree with staff's comments.
Thank you. And Mr. Bodek?
I have no comment.
Thank you, sir. We'll go around one more time. Ms. Lynch?
No additional comments.
Thank you. Ms. Taylor?
Nothing additional.
Mr. Altshuler?
No further comment.
Ms. Isaacs?
No further comments.
Mr. Dodge?
Nothing further.
All right, and Mr. Bodek?
No comment.
Thank you. Okay. Here, no further comments. We will go ahead and entertain a motion and then go into a vote.
This is Mr. Bodek. I move that we approve staff's recommendations for petition number 21-005431-COA. Approval for rehabilitation of the property located at 351 and 355 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a second?
Yeah,
Taylor, I second. Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Motion is on the floor made by Mr. Bodek and seconded by Ms. Taylor to approve as outlined in the staff the staff recommendations. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, hearing none, we'll go into a vote. Ms. Lynch?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
Ms. Isaacs?
Aye.
Mr. Dodge?
Aye.
Mr. Bodek?
Aye.
All right, motion carries and the project is approved.
Thank you.
Have a good one, Mr. Elder. If you guys give me one quick second, okay, sorry about that. We'll move on to the approved staff reviews. A list of those staff reviews have been attached to the agenda, and I'm going to do the task of reading them. Hope you guys got a snack because this is a long one. All right. So the first thing is the item number 19, the approval of staff approved reviews presented on November the 10th, 2021, HDBR in agenda. Okay. And we'll go on to item number 20, the petition of Roof Crafters, Marty Peterson, petition number 21-005-549-COA at 534 Price Street, in-kind roof replacement, addition of metal capping. Item number 21, the petition of Robin Restoration, Brian Robin, petition number 21-005-474-COA, 119 East Charlton Street, in-kind repairs and replacements. Item number 22, petition of Anthony DeBrasini and Tony Hensley, petition number 21-005-483-COA at 621 Drayton Street, Forsyth Park, Dummy Fort, install 7 natural gas heaters. Okay. Item number 23, petition of T-Mobile, Charles Paget, petition number 21-005-509-COA at 133 Montgomery Street. Antenna modifications. Item number 24, the petition of Your Exterior Pros, petition number 21-005-481-COA at 541 through 543 East Hall Street. Roof replacement. Item number 25, petition of David Lurch, petition number 21-005-478-COA at 503 East St. Julian Street. Replace downspout and gutters, in-kind porch floor repair. Item number 26, petition of Your Exterior Pros, petition number 21-005-480-COA at 524 through 532 East Gwinnett Street, in-kind roof replacement, repaint siding, same color, rotted trim replacement. Item number 27, petition of Roof Crafters, Kyle Conaway, petition number 21-005-542-COA, 526 and 528 East Taylor Street, roof replacement. Item number 28, the petition of Biscuits and Bird Dog LLC, Amy Baker, petition number 21-005-552-COA at 51 Barnard Street, door and column color change. Item number 29, petition of Frank Peoples, petition number 21-005-658-COA at 15 East Gordon Street, shutter replacement. Item number 30, petition of B. June Hutchinson, petition number 21-005-767-COA at 518 East Bryan Street, gate installation. Item number 31, petition of Shaw Architecture, Reshma Johnson, petition number 21-005-666-COA at 408 East Taylor Street, bench installation. Item number 32, petition of Atlantic Coastal Signs, John Nikelski, petition number 21-005-350-COA at 216 West Broughton Street, projected non-illuminated sign. Item number 33, petition of Green Line Architecture, Keith Howington, petition number 21-005-724-COA, 8 through 14 East State Street, window replacement. Item number 34, petition of T-Mobile, Charles Paget, petition number 21-005-778-COA at 24 Drayton Street, equipment modifications and additions. Item number 35, petition of Coastal Canvas, Joseph Corbin, petition number 21-005-686-COA at 51 Barnard Street, recover existing awnings. Item number 36, Monique Merrill, petition number 21-005-726-COA at 508 East McDonough Street, shutters. Item number 37, petition of Ellsworth Design Build, Anderson Resende, petition number 21-005-715-COA at 1 West Jones Street, awning and door replacement. Item number 38, petition of Anthony DeBrasini, petition number 21-005-730-COA at 410 East Huntington Street, in-kind porch repair. Item number 39, petition of the house doctor, Charles Angle, petition number 21-005-805-COA at 213 West Gordon Street, color change, in-kind repairs, and remove storm windows. Item number 40, petition of Zeno Moore Construction, Tiger Moore, petition number 21-005-782-COA at 12 East Bay Street, window replacement, 4. Item number 41, petition of Hallett and Company, Matthew S. Hallett, petition number 21-005-784-COA at 229 East Broad Street, mechanical screening installation. Item number 42, the petition of Hanson Architects, Patrick Phelps. Petition number 21-005872-COA at 256 East Perry Street, roof replacement and shade installation. Item number 43, petition of Nathan Godley. Petition number 21-004625-COA, 303 East Gaston Street, mechanical screening installation. Item number 44, petition of Lori Swanner. Petition number 21-005792-COA, 516 East Perry Street, stucco repair and shutter color change. We're almost there, folks. Item number 45, the petition of Stephen Bodek, Inc. Stephen Bodek, petition number 21-005744-COA at 518 East Perry Street, in-kind repair and front door elements. Front porch elements. Item number 46, petition of J. Elder Studio, Jerome Elder. Petition number 21-005892-COA at 308 East Liberty Street. Brick built-in planter replacement. Item number 47, petition of Anthony DeBrasini, petition number 21-005928-COA at 2222, I think I said four of them, Bull Street, mechanical screening installation. Item number 48, petition of Custom Building Development, petition number 21-005796-COA at 216 East State Street, repointing of non-historic masonry. Item number 49, petition of Metal Crafts, Katie Lee. Petition number 21-005929-COA at 32 Abercorn Street, roof repair. And finally, item number 50, petition of J. Elder Studio, Jerome Elder. Petition number 21-005907-COA. At 351 and 355 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, roof and window replacement. Okay. Mr. Bodek, am I going to assume that you are going to recuse yourself from item number 45?
That's correct, sir.
All right. Thank you, staff, if you would capture that for the record. All other will entertain a motion to approve the approved staff reviews.
This is Ellie, so moved.
Thank you, Ms. Isaac. Do I have a second?
Second.
This is David. Okay.
So there was a motion made by Ms. Isaac and seconded by Ms. Taylor, correct? If there's no discussion on that motion, we'll entertain a vote and we'll do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries and approved staff reviews are approved. Okay, now we'll move on to work performed without a certificate of appropriateness. Attached is a report regarding work begun without a certificate of appropriateness or which deviates from prior approval. You may review that at your leisure. Move on to the items deferred to staff. Attached is a report regarding items deferred to staff, such as conditions stipulated by board decisions and current status reports and ongoing projects. That is another. You may review that at your leisure. Then we move on to notices and proclamations. There are none listed. Move on into other business. There's none listed there either. Then we'll go into the adjournment. The next HDBR meeting will be Wednesday, December 8th. At 1 p.m. All right.
I do have a question. I'm sorry, this is Ann Taylor. I have a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wondered if there was any update on when we would begin our in-person meetings. I see the city council is back in person. Do we know?
Good question.
Leah and I actually had a conversation about that last night.
Pam, has there been any discussion yet about that?
No, we haven't had a discussion about it.
Okay. It sounds like we don't know yet.
What's your hurry?
Okay.
So we'll get to sit with one another soon enough, I suppose.
The ZBA and a few of the other boards are meeting in person. We were told that when we asked that it was because we didn't want to meet in person. Is that true?
You were told by who that that was the reason?
Somebody asked someone at the MPC. I don't know if Marcus related that. I don't know. We just, that's what someone had told someone who asked why there were some boards that were meeting in person and others that were not. It's because those
well, had sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sorry. We started doing a hybrid with HPC because they had a couple of members that needed to come in person. So if there, how many board members can we fit in the room, Pam, with the appropriate social distancing? Do you know offhand by any chance?
Sorry, I think I'm trying to unmute myself. We could fit all of the board.
We can fit board. All nine?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So, go ahead, Dwayne, sorry.
I was going to say, so do we want to try to close out the year in person?
Are you asking me or are you asking your fellow board members?
I'm asking my fellow board members and I'm asking staff if staff's up for that as well.
Yeah, I mean, we'll do it however you all want to. Just let us know. And of course, you're not required to come in person. So, how about if everybody just sends me an email individually telling me whether they want to attend in person or not, and then we can arrange it properly for the next meeting.
Okay. So if everybody could
set up. Right. Yeah.
So if everybody could please send an email to Leah prior to Friday. I think Friday would lend us enough time. But not let it stagnate too long because, you know, I don't want anybody to forget. If we could get her an email by Friday, that would be great. With us going back, with the potential of us coming back for in person, would we reinstitute the pre-meeting as well?
Again, I think that's up to you all. We are happy to start doing it, but I don't think, Pam, I don't think we brought any food or anything back for any members just because of the sharing, or am I wrong about that?
We've been serving sandwiches.
Yeah, okay, I think like everything's been boxed.
Boxed lunches, sandwiches.
Okay. So I guess maybe when you tell me whether you want to come in person or not in the email, tell me whether or not you think you want a pre-meeting back and then we can go with majority. Does that seem fair?
That sounds fair to me.
Yep.
Yeah,
any of the board have any exceptions to the suggestion?
Nope.
All right. Well, cool. Well, if everybody would just send Leah that email, that would be great. So we can figure out how we're gonna close out the year.
Yep, I'm happy to get it all together.
Beautiful. All right. If all hearts and minds are clear, we'll entertain motion to adjourn.
This is Ellie, so moved.
All right. Sounds good. And ladies and gentlemen, you guys enjoy the rest of your day. Get back to the busyness of what we all do every day and have a good and safe evening.